Amen. We'll preach to you tonight, but we won't be long, all right? We won't be long, and we'll get us into the altar here. Let the Lord help us. Praise the Lord. First Kings chapter 18, the wonderful chapter there for Elijah. Amen. A wonderful chapter. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be mainly focusing mainly probably on some to our young people tonight, and so moms and dads, you can just, and grandmas and grandpas and saints of God, just help us on, but maybe it'll also apply to you and help you as well this evening. But thinking about our kids going off to Bible school, and Sister Ruth said these kids are, these are special kids to us, and very special kids. We love them, and amen. I remember when Amy first started coming to Bethel Chapel. Man, of course, I remember back when she was just a little bitty thing, and Kayla was her babysitter, and Kayla would babysit Amy. Now, here she's getting grown up. She's starting to grow up a little bit, and amen. Kind of make you sad, don't it, Brother Jerry, Sister Melody? Amen, right. We'll have a crying party next weekend, all right, where we console. I'll preach to the parents next weekend, you know, about the consolation of God and the comfort of the Holy Ghost and, all right, being the friend that sticks closer than the brother and like the daughter that'll never leave you. And, amen. Remember, then, of course, Kimmy, amen, when she was just a little bitty thing and, she stole the hearts of Bethel Chapel right from the start, and people just loved her and took her in. And, you know, Kimmy, her sister came to church, rode the bus. Yeah. Tiffany was right here among us. But there was something that got in the heart of Kimmy that so many other kids that come in on the bus, they miss. They miss it. And I think that it just got down in Kimmy's heart. She loved the Lord in spite of all that she would have to endure and any afflictions that she might have to overcome in order to serve the Lord. And she's persevered. And she's went on for God. And I believe God's going to do great things for her. And Sister Erica, man, she's been such a wonderful. Sister Erica is one of those. She's quiet. She's not. Sometimes she's quiet. She's just one of the sweetest people you would ever meet when you talk to her. She's just got such a sweet personality. And now I like to get Erica to laugh though, because when she starts laughing, she's got the greatest laugh and just the sweetest laugh. And she's awesome young lady. But you know, it's going to be hard for Sister Erica leaving her mom and dad. I know it's just probably just tearing them up a little bit that their little girl's leaving. But I know the Lord's got his hand on her life. She's had a very sweet spirit and a spirit that God could deal with and God could work with from the very start, from the time she walked in. Amen. I can remember when Ruth came home from Sunday school class saying about the sweetest girl is in my Sunday school class, and referring to Eric and what God's done in her life. Amen. Logan. Amen. Next month will be 12 years that we've been at Bethel Chapel. So that would have made Logan, let's see, about six when we came, 6 years old. And so we've watched him grow up a little bit. And yeah, then we've been able to help him in school a little bit and get him through geometry and a few courses like that and help him achieve wonderful things. But I appreciate Logan. One thing that we can say about Brother Logan is his consistency over these years. He's been a consistent rock in our youth group and just dedicated himself to the Lord and been consecrated to the Lord and felt the calling on his life at a young age. And I appreciate Brother Craig and Sister Lisa just encouraging him in that calling. And he's got good parents that support him in that calling and grandparents that support him in that calling. And that's an awesome thing, Brother Logan. And so I'm not, when I'm speaking tonight, and I'm not speaking to because I see a glaring weakness in their life, or that because I have concerns about them, but I do know that many times when this is a big deal. When you leave home to go to Bible college, it's a big deal. Yeah, it's and. For you that's leaving, let me tell you, it's a big deal to your parents. It's a big deal to your family. It's not easy to watch you pack. It's not easy to watch you load your car. It's not easy for us to haul you down there and drop you off. And it's not easy to pay a bill like that. It's not easy for us to do all that. And, you know, it feels like that a page is turning in our life as parents. Right, Brother Craig? We talked about it a little bit this morning. Feels like a page is turning in our life. You say, well, they're only going to be gone for 9 months. But here's the deal, Brother Chris, you know this. It's a page that's being turning in your life that you don't ever get to go back to that. It's like that chapter is closed, and you move on into a different realm of their life. And as a parent, it's hard sometimes to accept that and to see that happen. And especially in these cases, Brother Logan, he's the youngest. He's the last one leaving the house, last one that's getting out there. Go ahead and cry, Sister Lisa. Amy, she's the last one she's the youngest. She's the baby of the family. She's the spoiled one of the two. And she's going. So, you know, it's not easy for moms and dads. Erica, it's one of those things. It's just she's, you know, mom and dad's pride and joy, and they love her so much, and she's just, they're all in awe, and here she's going off to Bible school. It's difficult for them, difficult for Kimmy's family, too, because, you know what, they've never had this. All of them's always just stayed right here, and they just do this, you know, you're going away to Bible college? First of all, going away to college and to Bible college. And they don't do this. This is a big deal for your families, for you to leave and to go away to Bible school. And it's a big deal for these kids. Because now, yes, they're at Bible school. Yes, they're staying in the dorm, and Sister Barnes is going to be looking out after these girls very closely, no doubt. And Brother Snow is going to have, you know, a short leash on Logan there. And I know, yes, they've got probation they got to do. You know, the guy's, Brother Logan's not going to be able to run off with that girl just yet. He's going to have to wait a little bit. And they're going to get there. But you know what? It's a big deal because now they're kind of like their own deal. Right? I don't think that you're going to be able to walk into the room, mom and dad, and flip the light on and say, it's time to get up. Time to get dressed. Time to get off to school. Time to pull it all together. They won't be there to shake you in the evening and say, did you get all your homework done? Have you done all your work? Do you got all your assignments ready for tomorrow? You got it all done? And then reminding you of that and you know, and all that. You got to start doing it on your own. It's a lot of that. But also, you've got a lot of responsibility on you young people. And I know sometimes people say, well, Bible school, it can't hurt them. Let me tell you what, Bible school does not hurt anybody. But it does give them freedom sometimes that they are not ready to accept. You've got to have a walk with God and a dedication to the Lord. And you got to mean business with what you're there to do. Are you hearing me? Parents, you can say amen. You can shout that out. You got to be over there with an intention that you're going to get something from God. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 20. So Ahab sent all the children unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them, therefore, give us two bullocks. And let them choose one bullock for themselves. And cut it in pieces. And lay it on wood. And put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock. And lay it on wood. And put no fire under it. And ye, and call ye on the name of your gods. And I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Notice something there. When he first made that challenge, they answered not a word. And then when he presented the challenge to them, they all answered, said, it's well spoken. They felt very confident. They felt very confident that the prophets of Baal would succeed. All right? They felt very confident. Verse 25, and Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose ye one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, put no fire under it. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from the morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancet, till the blood gushed out upon them. It came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. They had been doing this for so long that people got bored with it. Yeah, come on. Nobody was even paying any attention to their nonsense anymore. Because they had just been going on, they'd been going so long with no results that finally they said that nobody regarded it. Nobody was paying any attention to what they were doing. And Elijah said unto the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. They did it a second time. He said, do it a third time. They did it a third time. And the water ran round about the altar. And he filled the trench also with water. It came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is God, the God. The Lord, he is the God. Amen. A few things I want to point out into those number of verses that I read to you. Don't usually read that many verses. Amen. But notice that this altar that was built, and sometimes when you read the scripture, I think it's okay for you just to kind of read into these things here. But I believe that this altar was built by Elijah. It was built by Elijah. And then when you get down and you read upon it, It says, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. They leaped upon the altar which was made. And there was still without any results. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. If I could, amen, I would like to preach on, get off my altar and build your own. Get off my altar and build your own.
Amen.
And because you know what? You need to learn how to build your own altar.
Amen.
You see, an altar is a type of commitment, consecration, dedication.
Amen.
It is. It encompasses what you are as a child of God. And for all these this time, amen, many of these young people have just been doing what they've been told to do. But it comes time, there comes a time when you have to build your own altar. If there's one thing that Elijah knew how to do, it was build an altar. And if there's one thing Elijah knew how to do, he knew that he needed to build his altar before the time of testing came. You see, before that time of testing came, when you were really going to be put to the test, hey man, you need to know how to build an altar, and you need to build your own altar, and you can't build something for somebody else. Hey man, I wish, hey man, as your pastor, I could build you an altar in your life that would sustain you for the years to come. I wish that I could build the altar, hey man, so that it would last in your life for years to come. I know it's the desire of your parents and those of Bethel Chapel and your Sunday school teachers and your youth pastor, amen, that they would be able to build an altar in your life, amen, that would sustain your walk with God for years to come. But really, we are not able to do that. Amen. All we have been able to do is create an environment and give you instruction and give you teaching and put a desire in your heart and try to put a hunger in your heart for the things of God. Amen. That you would have the move of God for yourself and that you would have a hunger to say, Lord, I want the fire of God on my life. I want the move of God on my life, Lord. Amen. I wish that you could look, amen, around Bethel Chapel. I wish you could look into the life of your parents. Amen. And those that have loved you and poured into your life. And I wish that you could see and you could look and say, oh God, I want the fire of God, amen, to fall on my life, Lord, like it has fallen on those of Bethel Chapel and those that have touched my life. God, I want the fire of God to fall upon me. Amen. I wish we could create that hunger and that desire in your heart. Amen, that you would long for the fire to fall upon you. Man, but you need to know how to build an altar. You need to have built your altar of dedication, consecration, and commitment to God. You need to have established in your life and in your heart, amen, that you're going to serve the Lord for yourself. You need to have established in your heart and in your life, amen, that you are going to live godly and that you're going to live holy. Amen, that you're going to abide by the standards of God's word. Amen, you need to have established that in your heart a long time ago. Amen, you need to build that altar of consecration and dedication in your life. You can't say, amen, I do it because I've been raised in Bethel Chapel and that's what they taught me. No, you need to build your own altar. You need to build your own altar. Amen. If you want the fire of God to fall upon you, you need to build your own. You need to fall on your face before God and say, God, amen, I need a new dedication, a greater consecration to you, a greater commitment, Lord. God, I want to serve you for all the right reasons. Amen. You know what? Amen. You're not going to be at Bethel Chapel next Sunday. You're going to be in a different church. Amen. Guess what? Amen. We're still going to be shouting around the pews of Bethel Chapel. We're going to be having great services, and we're going to be calling and telling about them. Amen. But listen, amen, you're going to have to get there, and you're going to have to build an altar of your own. Amen. Somewhere else. Amen. And say, God, I need a fire of God to fall on me right here in Bible school. I need the Holy Ghost. I need the fire. Amen. To fall on my life right here, right now. Amen. It's easy to have an altar to dance on when you're right here in Bethel Chapel.
It's easy to have an altar for you to dance on. Amen. While everybody else is worshiping God. It's easy for you to have an altar for you to dance on. Amen. When mom says, it's time for you to go to church, girl. We're going to the house of God. We're going to church. Amen. Get ready. We're going to go there. Amen. It's easy for you to dance on the altar. Amen. Around Bethel Chapel. Amen. When you've got those, amen, around you that you have confidence in and that you have put your trust in. Amen. That get there and lift their hands and worship God and pray and seek the Lord for a service and pray and call your name out before God. It's easy for you, amen, to dance on the altar, amen, while others, amen, have been carrying the load, amen, but now it comes a time, amen, you're going to have to get off this altar and you're going to have to build your own. Amen. Praise God. Sadly, there's a lot of young people. All they know is the commitment that their mom and dad has enforced into their life. And sadly, there's those that have went off to Bible school. And when they got there, they didn't know how to build their own altar. When they got away from the influence of Bethel Chapel, no longer had Sister Ruth ringing their phone, checking up on them, asking them, are you reading your Bible? Have you been reading your Bible? Not asking them every Sunday morning, do you got a praise report? Do you got a praise report? Amen. Don't have, amen, somebody there, amen, knocking on your door and said, hey, where are you at? What are you doing? What's going on? Amen. You don't have a youth pastor or a youth pastor's wife, amen, that's hounding you, amen, and just being all up in your space, amen, because they're concerned about you. Hey, listen, amen, you need to build your own altar, amen, because now, amen, you're going to come across a time of testing, amen, and Brother David's not going to be there. Sister Ruth, not going to be there. Brother Gabe, Sister April, not going to be there. Mom and Dad, amen, going to be somewhere else. And guess what? Amen, you better have the ability to build an altar. There's going to come a time of testing. And you need to know. You need to know what it is you believe and why you believe it. And you need to have got it settled in an altar. Amen, you better believe that you are called of God. Amen. Did you have your commitment and consecration? Amen. You're going to do your dedication and your holiness standard is going to be tested. People are going to push on it. People are going to make you question. Amen. You better build your altar. You better build your altar. You say, but Brother David, I'm going to Bible school. I'm going to Bible school. Yes, I know you are. Amen. But you better build your own altar. It'll become a time of testing. And you better know, amen, that, Lord, you called me here. And I know this is your will for my life. Amen. You've heard of people being mommy called and daddy called. You've heard that, right? Pastor called. Well, let me tell you, you need to know, you need to build your own altar of consecration and dedication in your life. You're getting ready to go into it, you know, a different phase of your life. Right now, all you are is excited. But let me tell you, there's going to come a time of testing. You better build your altar. Better build your altar. Amen. Those prophets of Baal, they's jumping up and dancing on an altar that wasn't theirs. But you know what? They couldn't get fire to come down either. You say, but how do you know that that was Elijah's altar? I read there that he had to rebuild it. They was tearing up his altar. They was all over that thing, jumping and leaping and dancing, skipping around on top of his altar, making a mess of everything. He had to rebuild it. You know what? You need your own altar. There's going to come a time of testing. Amen, when you need to have your altar built in your life. Altar of consecration, commitment, dedication to the Lord. You're going to have to know. Amen, when that time comes, you know what you'll be able to say? Brother David told me this would be happening. Sure, I'm glad I built me an altar. Sure, I'm glad I have an altar. I am glad I got my commitment. my dedication, my consecration. Amen. I told you I wouldn't be long tonight. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. We're going to have all six of our Bible school students. That includes Brother Caleb, Sister Adrian, and all four of our freshmen. We're going to have them come and stand across the front of the church tonight. Amen. You can make your way right now. Amen. I want them to come and stand across here. Hallelujah. Amen. Since Brother Caleb used names tonight, Brother Dad, Brother Larry, come and stand behind Brother Caleb, if you would. Amen. And moms and dads, why don't you come and stand? Brother Rob, Sister Alicia, why don't you come stand behind Kimmy? You're taking her down there. Amen. Ruth, come and stand behind Erica, if you would. Sister Bonnie, come and stand behind Sister Erica, if you would. Amen. Amen. Now, church, now Bethel Chapel. Amen. Don't we love these kids? Amen. We would do anything for them. Yes, stand if you would. We would do anything for them. Anything. We'd go the extra mile. We'd give them money, and many of you have. We'll do what we have to do. But you know what? Comes a time they've got to build their own altar. We can only do so much, and now it's time for them to make a commitment and a dedication, a consecration to God that'll stand the test that is before them and that waits for them right now in their life. Amen. And I trust these young people, amen, will rise to the occasion, don't you? Bethel Chapel, would you come in around us tonight? Coming around these tonight. I just want you to come in. Amen. I want you to come in and pray for them.